Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is known for her no-bards-hold approach to color and pattern. Her design style can be summed up as a happy, family-friendly, and approachable way of design. Equal parts, vintage and modern, classic and contemporary, her picks range from fresh and traditional to 20th century vintage, with bits of quirky and ironic added in for good measure. Common threads that run through her projects include a sense of humor, layers of pattern, and items mixed together to create a bespoke and special space. She credits her evolving design style to growing up in Florida, her stylish and slightly crazy mother, and experiences living and working all over the country. But most of all, her style has developed over time as a wife and mother of two daughters, as well as a poodle, who all live in the kind of home she designs for others. Her work has been published in magazines including Traditional Home, Coastal Living, Better Homes and Gardens, New England Home, Design New England, and the Boston Globe. It turns out she's rather busy making the world more beautiful. Katie Rosenfeld, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Hi, James.
So good to have you with us today, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure. Now, take us back and tell us the story of you falling in love with design.
Gosh, that's kind of a long story because it basically originated with my mom. My mom was a serial decorator. She never had a business, but had she decided to start a career, I think she would have been a total rock star. She was continually redecorating our house. And very clever, very on trend, very ahead of her time. She would drag me along all the time to antique stores and vintage shops, and we'd go to flea markets and up to Atlanta, because I'm from Florida, to shop flea markets. And she just has an amazing eye, always has, still does. So I think it was sort of ingrained in me from the very beginning to the love of interior design and the love of decorating. My grandmother was actually an artist, and my father is actually an avid photographer. So I had a lot of creativity in the house, and I had a lot of sort of creative spirit around me. But interestingly, I never really knew I was going to be a designer or a decorator until way later. I fell into it very accidentally. I studied philosophy and art history in college, and when I graduated, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't even know the concept of a career was just so overwhelming to me, and I fell into an accidental recruiting career on Wall Street and ended up being very successful at a young age, and that was a real people business, and I think that's why I was able to succeed in it, but it made me miserable, and the lifestyle was terrible, and the sort of job environment was not at all my speed. And when I married my husband, it gave me the financial and sort of personal courage and freedom to kind of pursue what I wanted to do. And ironically, what I did first was I went back to the art business. Since I studied philosophy and art in school, I decided I wanted to explore being an art consultant. And really long story short, I ended up using our apartment in New York and then our home in New Jersey as like a salon. And I would invite people over to look at art and to buy art. And that sort of took off and became successful, and very organically people would come buy a piece and say, oh, well, I'd love to buy this piece of art, but could you come help me renovate my kitchen, or could you come help me decorate my living room? And organically, it literally just took shape from there and has continued to grow.
Wow. So you were right where you needed to be at that moment, weren't you?
I guess so. And I think lucky in that I was able to do it because, you know, had I stayed in that Wall Street career, God only knows what I would be today.
Well, you wouldn't be here talking with us.
That's that would be very true.
So with the business growing organically, was there ever a moment when you stopped and said, oh my gosh, I'm suddenly doing interior design? How did that happen?
I think I say that every day.
Oh, really?
I do. I mean, I feel very lucky because honestly, I really, really, truly love my job. And I don't think a lot of people get to say that. So I honestly say that every day. And whenever I see my work in a magazine, I can't believe it. It's a very 16 candles moment.
It's funny you mentioned that. I had a friend that watched it just the other night and called me and said, I'd forgotten about this movie. What a great flick it was.
Oh, the best. The best.
Well, definitely pinch me moments. And you've been published a lot. So are you black and blue? No, just kidding. Well, so tell us what you're working on right now, Katie. What's got you, got the creative juices flowing and you excited these days?
Well, I am working on a project which I hope to photograph at the end of the summer or the beginning of the fall, which is going to be a really different for me and an opportunity for me to sort of show my creative muscle in terms of versatility. I'm doing a project, one of the penthouses in the tallest residential high-rise in Boston called the Millennium Tower. This is a second-time client, so I knew her very well. She moved from a very traditional suburban setting into this amazing glass-filled architectural setting, and it has just really pushed me creatively to be able to stay true to my aesthetic, which tends to be a little bit more traditional, but also reference and respect the contemporary architecture that we were working with. So both of us, the client and myself, I think, had to really jump out of our comfort zone and really figure out how to make modern our own. And I mean that in the truest sense. And it was quite a challenge, but I hope we pulled it off. It's definitely eclectic.
Fascinating, and I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see images. So you'll keep us posted once that's on some glossy pages somewhere.
Oh gosh, yes.
We'll hear the shouts, right?
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears.
There you go. Well, it's wonderful to have a project like that that stretches you, though, isn't it?
Definitely. And I want to do more of that. I think that as a creative person, you can tend to get into people tend to come to you because they see a picture of something that you've done that they like and they want the same thing. And, it's a tricky thing because this is a service business and you want to give the client what they want. But at the same time, as a creative person, you don't want to regurgitate. So it's a fine line.
Do you find in your area that this scenario of people who have larger, maybe more traditional homes in the suburbs are relocating into the city and into much cleaner, more contemporary high-rise residences? Is that something you see a lot?
I'm beginning to see it, I think, because it's my demographic. And in fact, I myself will probably, hopefully, be one of those people. I think a lot of folks who – I'm getting my first one off to college this fall, and then I've got a 16-year-old, and – my husband and I are now sort of looking at the scenario of where do we go next, and is it time to make a change and go back to the city? And then all those questions come up, and it's definitely something I'm seeing. It's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, it's a fresh dynamic that's sort of dropped in your life at a time when maybe you hadn't really expected that. Sort of shakes things up a little bit and keeps you on your toes.
Definitely. Definitely.
Nice. Well, when you look at the wide range of experience that you have in the work that you do over the years, from art to design and all that's involved in that, what is it? What's the very best part of the work that you get to do right now, Katie?
The best part of the work that I get to do? Well, I mean, the obvious answer would be to say that I get to do all kinds of fun, creative things. But that's not really the true answer. I think for me, and going back to that ridiculous career I had on Wall Street, when you really boil it down, this is a people business, it's a service business. And I tend to, I mean, everyone who is in this business will tell you that you develop intimate relationships with your clients. And when it works, it really works. And I am so fortunate in that a lot of my clients have become dear friends and people I talk to on a weekly basis, people I see when they come to town, people I have dinner with, have over for holidays, you know, get baby announcements from, all that good stuff. And that just makes me really happy. That's definitely my favorite part.
Flip that coin over and then for a moment, talk to us about the challenges of the work that you do, because in every job and particularly this industry, challenges do come up. So how do you navigate those?
I guess it depends on the challenge you're talking about. I mean, if it's a people challenge, then that's really tricky. And I think the key to all of my projects or any designer's projects is communication. I feel like you've got a promise and you've got to deliver on that promise. And all throughout the process, you've got to make sure that the client is communicated with. Even if there's nothing going on, just shooting them a text or an email or calling them and saying, I know you haven't heard from me, but I haven't forgotten about you. You just need to continually sort of massage that relationship and make them feel like they're the most important thing on your docket. Another thing is truly, at least in my experience, is sort of educating the client, because not everyone who has a beautiful home understands what their style is. And they kind of look to you as an advisor. And you have to educate them. You have to explain to them why this or that works or doesn't work, and sort of boil it down to the elemental basics so that they can understand, because this is, it's all very subjective, right? I mean, this is not black and white. So what I think works, the client may think doesn't work, and vice versa. And you've really got to sort of play the role of educator so that the client respects you and listens to you, and ultimately you can sort of guide them to define their own personal style.
Do you find that clients come to you conscious of those deficiencies or those needs for education? Or is that something that happens organically as you're working through the process?
Oh, well, I mean, I've had both. I mean, I think certain people just have an innate sort of sense of style that is derivative, whether they're, you know, fashionable or you know, creative people, and they kind of quote unquote get it. There are also people who really and truly don't get it. But I don't think anyone has ever walked into my office and said, you know, this is exactly what I want. And I mean, that wouldn't be a fun job for me. That would just be taking orders. So I think every client, definitely the ultimate goal is they think they want one thing, and you have to translate that into something that is even better and that reflects them, because you never want to copy. You never want to sort of regurgitate. So, you know, inspiration is just that. And you have to sort of take them through the process of what about these pictures inspires you. And I like to do games. I like to put my hands over different aspects of a picture in a magazine and say, okay, well, pretend this wasn't there. Would you still like it? And illustrate my point. Because sometimes somebody loves a room and what they end up loving is the art on the wall. Right. And, you know, when you can discuss it in those terms, it becomes very clear and people start to really understand.
It is a process, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It is. So speak to that process a little bit and speak to our listeners who are at home today, Katie, looking for ways to create more beauty in their home. What would you say to them today? What would be a tip or an idea that you would share with them today to help them on that journey?
Someone that's not going to involve a designer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. People, you know, who are doing it themselves.
I would say take it very slow. Look, study, understand things. Try and sort of derive your style from yourself, from what you wear, from what inspires you in nature or around you in your world, and make sure to have fun. don't take it so seriously. I think collecting is a big thing. It's very difficult to sort of design a home when no one has a single object. And so I'm a big proponent of sort of gathering, hunting and gathering and finding quirky things and collecting things and displaying things, and find something that you really love and start collecting it, and develop these collections over time, and they'll end up being meaningful and they'll also end up being decorative.
Mm. Good words.
And by art. By art.
From the art consultant, yes.
Well, I mean, anywhere, honestly. I mean, if you find it on the side of the road and you like it, I have paintings that, you know, cost $40 and the frame costs more than the painting, and people love them. So right. I think art is also so important.
Vital to a beautiful home. It really is. So have you taken all of those concepts and ideas and diffused them into the place that you call home, Katie?
I have, definitely, but I'm constantly redecorating. It's a real problem. And I've lived so many places. I mean, look, we lived in Florida. We lived in New York City twice. We lived in New Jersey, Los Angeles, and now Boston. So I've had the opportunity to really explore as far as different vernaculars go and, you know, and to collect things. And now I think finally my house is finally a mishmash of sort of years of different styles and different vernaculars. It finally has sort of a style of its own and a language of its own. And I would definitely say, yes, it's nice. Curated.
Nice. Do you have a favorite room in the house?
Favorite room? I would say my bedroom, definitely. Only just because it's like my personal zen den. I go there. So the routine is usually we'll have dinner as a family or as part of a family, whoever's around. And then we'll sit, we'll clean up, we'll sit, we'll watch some TV, we'll talk. And then I'll take my dog, go up to the bedroom, and it's like all of a sudden life is good. And my kids will come in and visit with me, and we'll talk about their days, and Doug will come in and out, and I'll watch trashy TV, and it's just everything.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No, definitely. It's heaven.
Nice. What would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Katie?
I think they would be surprised at how compulsively clean I am, probably. And the fact that it's something that I do a lot on my own. Or maybe they wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I am a fanatic cleaner. I have, like, my vacuum is my best friend. I love my Swiffer. And I actually feel cleaning is very meditative for me, whereas a lot of people can't stand it and it's a chore. It's really like almost therapeutic for me. People would be surprised to come over and find me with a vacuum.
Oh, there you go. Interesting. No, I get it. In fact, I was having this conversation earlier. We all have those things that become meditative for us. For me, it's ironing.
Okay.
I could stand and iron for hours. And
yeah.
It's a very zen experience. So,
yep, I get it.
Go bond with your vacuum. I get it.
It's my vacuum is my friend.
Love it. Love it. Love it. If you had an opportunity to spend an hour or so with a designer style hero, Katie, someone whose work has greatly impacted your life or your work, they might be living, might be deceased. Who would you pick? And tell us why.
I like the intro to that, but I think the sappy answer would be my mother. And that is the honest truth. She's sort of an unsung hero, I think. In terms of being a designer, I always feel that she never had the career that she could have had. I don't even think she knew she could have had a career in this business. I don't think at the time that she was raising me in the 60s and the 70s, I think she might not have known her options, as many women didn't back then. And she's just so incredibly talented. And whenever I'm with her, I'm so inspired. Her house is just beyond gorgeous and always evolving and progressive. And she has an unbelievable sense of color that is completely off the beaten path, and no one knows who she is. And I guess that doesn't matter, but she's definitely my design hero. I think the intellectual answer, you know, the canned answer that I would give you would definitely be Sister Parrish. And actually probably for a lot of the same reasons. I mean, like my mom, she was untrained. She came from this sort of world of privilege, but chose to work, which was very revolutionary in her time, where women weren't working. And she just did it her own way. She liked things imperfect. She liked things slightly offbeat, slightly quirky. She had such a sense of humor. And I think she was just kind of a badass.
I don't think I've ever heard Sister Parrish described as a badass, but it works. It definitely works. Some good picks
there. You may have to edit that. No.
We're keeping that one. So what's the very best decorating advice that you've ever come across, Katie?
So my mother and my grandmother always used to say, and I always say in my office, people make fun of me, stay true to the grain of the hair. Which means, can mean a couple of things. It can mean you need to sort of go with what you have. If you're sitting in a super duper contemporary apartment and you want to fill it up with trellis and preppy and Sister Parrish, it may not work. You've got to somehow respect the architecture that you have. If you're sitting in a super traditional home with historic molding and all sorts of traditional detail, sure, you can add a little bit of contemporary, but you have to do it in the right way. Go with the grain of the hair.
Go with the grain of the hair. I've not heard that, but I like it. I may borrow that if that's okay.
Go for it.
Yay. What's a design trend that you are going to be a little bit happy to see go by the wayside?
Ugh. I'll get in trouble if I say what I really think, won't I?
Oh, please do. Please do.
I think probably... Well, there's a few. I think trellis and Moroccan can go bye-bye.
Okay.
For sure. And I think this whole notion of sort of, I don't know what you would call it other than to call it sort of these California boho white spaces with live edge wood tables and Kilim rugs. I mean, you're in LA, so you get it. A lot of people want that style with the batik and the white, and I am attracted to it. I get why they're attracted to it, but I am also oversaturated.
Okay. Too much of a good thing, right?
Yes.
Too much of a good thing. If the house caught fire tonight, Katie, God forbid, family, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. What's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
Well, I'm going to really shock you on this one. I actually had that happen to me.
Really?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
I did. I mean, you want to say you're sorry, but it's totally fine. I was 22 years old. It's actually probably a very formative experience. It was a very formative experience. I was 22 years old. I was living in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, okay, alone in a studio. I was living in a brownstone, and four alarm fire. I was on the top floor. My roof caved in. I left the building in my pajamas. Well, not even pajamas. I think I was wearing a t-shirt and underwear. And that's what I left with, and that's what I ended up with. And that is a true story. It was one of the most traumatic and really sort of life-altering philosophical experiences I've ever had. So the truth is, I mean, this is going to sound very haughty, and it's not meant to. There's not a damn thing I would go back into a fire for. Nothing. It's just stuff. I've managed to build a life since then and collect stuff. And I just feel like ultimately things are things, and they're not what's important to me. Is that a terrible answer?
No, it's a particularly brilliant answer, and one that resonates clearly from a place of experience. So thanks for sharing that story. That's I've not had that before. I've not had someone who's had that kind of a loss. So
as recently as I think 2 weeks ago, this is really crazy. I'm just going to give you a snippet. On Facebook, which I never go on, I got a message. I probably hadn't been on Facebook in 6 months or something. I got a message from a gal who, when I was out on the street after that fire, people thought I was crazy because I was sort of running around. All of a sudden, I noticed I didn't have any pants on. I was running around saying, oh my God, I need shoes. I need shorts. My house is on fire. You know, you can only imagine the panic that set in.
Oh, yeah.
And people thought that I was a lunatic, which I was. And this young girl said, come with me. And she took me a couple blocks down up to her apartment, total stranger, gave me a pair of shoes and a pair of shorts. And that was that. I never heard from her again. And she found me on Facebook 2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
She did. She said, are you the same Katie Turkell that had the fire on East 84th Street? I know. And we reconnected.
That's amazing. Well, Facebook is good for at least one thing.
Yeah, probably only one.
Well, maybe. We'll save that for another conversation. Katie, give us a book recommendation. Our listeners love books, and we always ask our guests for a book recommendation, something that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Well, it's an old school one. Mm-hmm. Billy Baldwin Decorates. Have you ever had that one before?
It's sitting on the bookshelf about 3 feet from me.
Oh, yep. Really? Well, I just, first of all, I think it's hysterical. And it talks a lot about the job of being a designer and the relationship between designer and client and how to handle that. And it's so relevant. He was so ahead of his time. I mean, a lot of his designs could be published today and they would still be completely current.
Isn't that the truth? A good book. A really
great
good book.
Yeah. A great book. Every time I read it, I laugh too, yeah, which is something that's important.
It is very important. A good one. We'll post a link to that in the show notes section for our listeners who may not have picked up a copy or found a copy. I'm not sure if that one's still in print or not. I'll have to look that up.
You know what? It actually, I don't think it is, because I had to rebuy my copy after the fire, and I had to get it recently, okay, you know, like 10 years ago or something on eBay.
Well, we'll poke around and see if there may be a new edition out, and if not, we've got some vendors who have second, what do they call it, aftermarket copies that circulate around. But definitely one worth having if you can add it to your library. Katie, that brings us down to the last question. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready. I'm a little scared.
Okay, fasten your seatbelt and give me your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
That is such a hard question, because I think it would be mind-blowing and traumatic. I know what you're getting at. It's sort of that whole bigger question of where do you begin, and when you have a blank slate, what would I do? And I think, and I did think about this question, I think what I would do is probably purchase a piece of art, because it would stimulate me, it would inspire me, it would be a springboard for the palette to develop, mm-hmm, and the style to develop, and it would be something that would be meaningful to me, hopefully, and that would remind me that it was the first thing I bought. And I think it would be a piece of art.
Good place to start, if you ask me. No, not a problem with that. Not at all. Katie Rosenfeld, what a joy getting to speak with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. And I definitely have to give a shout out to my design assistant, Caroline Kofel, who's sitting next to me, very, very excited.
Waving, Caroline. Careful, we'll have to get you on the show one of these days.
I know. Well, don't get her on the show. I would shiver at the thought of what she would say.
Oh, the story she could tell, right?
Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure, Katie. Thank you very much. We want to say thanks to our subscribers who've tuned into the show today. We know that none of this has any meaning if it's not for you. So thank you for supporting the show, listening, telling your friends about the show, and helping us to grow. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and always most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.